This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio City Council was planning on voting on an update to the present anti-discrimination ordinance, but this is anything but routine. It was a big issue in the recent city council elections. Both candidates who opposed the anti-discrimination update lost their races to candidates who supported it. The update concerns gender identity and sexual orientation. Here's District 1 City Council member Diego Bernal on a recent segment of issue of The Source explaining the ordinance. Now, there are people who feel like they have a right, a religious right, in order to, they don't agree with the lifestyle, and they, our apartment complex is a family-friendly apartment complex. We don't need this. The city would be cutting into my religious freedoms because you're demanding that I rent to people that I don't agree with.
Well, first of all, when it comes to delegate agencies, there is a religious carve-out, just like there's a religious carve-out for religion. If someone is an all-Catholic organization and they only want to hire other Catholics, they're allowed to do that. That carve-out is extended here. It's not extended for people who otherwise never invoke their religion until now. So if, let's take an apartment complex, if you've already rented to Muslims, if you already rented to, let's say, a couple who aren't married, you don't now get to cherry pick and say, well, this is the one thing that I'm going to hold on to and say you're infringing upon my religious liberty. You've already opened it up.
That was District 1 City Council member Diego Bernal on a previous source explaining the update to the anti-discrimination ordinance that the City Council will soon be voting on. Now, some are saying that if it does pass, it would ban Christians from serving on city government, and that the Texas-based Liberty Institute says they're going to sue San Antonio if it does get passed. Joining us now to talk about the ordinance and their objections, Justin Butterfield. He's an attorney for the Liberty Institute and in support of the ordinance. Dan Graney, he is a co-chair of the CASA, Community Alliance for United San Antonio. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And we do want callers to jump in on the conversation. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. Now, Mr. Butterfield, can you talk about what the objections are to the ordinance?
Yes, our objections are that unlike civil rights ordinances that exist and have been recently passed throughout the country, this is the only ordinance we have ever seen that actually tries to regulate what people believe in their actions independently of their actions that it's trying to regulate. So that's a little complicated, but what it does is it says that if you've ever demonstrated a bias by word or deed against any person because of sexual orientation, race, color, religion, et cetera, that you can no longer be appointed to a city board or commission. And that is just far beyond anything we've ever seen, because it actually basically implements disagreeing with the city as a thought crime. If the city determines that you've ever demonstrated a bias by word or deed, then you can be prevented from serving on city boards or commissions. And that's a violation of the First Amendment's protection of free speech, and it's a violation of their people's freedom of religion, because does that mean that you cannot go to a church because that demonstrates a bias, might demonstrate a bias against a person because of their sexual orientation or their gender identity or because of their religion? So this non-discrimination ordinance just pushes far beyond anything we've ever seen anywhere else.
San Antonio is not the first city to adopt an ordinance with anti-discrimination for this community. Austin, Dallas, El Paso, Fort Worth, Houston all have similar ordinances. Is this one different?
This one is different for that reason I just said. It tries to regulate people who demonstrate a bias just by word or deed. So whereas other anti-discrimination ordinances have said that, you know, if you're in the city government, you can't take actions that discriminate against a person for the city or things along that line. But this one says you can't demonstrate a bias by word. So this is the only one that says if you're on a city board or commission and you so much as speak out because you believe differently than what the city's official position, then that is malfeasance in their terms, and you can be removed from a board or commission. None of the other anti-discrimination ordinances have tried to regulate what people speak and what they think like this one does.
So if that provision was taken out, if that clause was taken out of the ordinance and an ordinance was adopted that was closer to these other cities in Texas, their ordinances, then you would have no problem with it?
Well, I think, you know, it would depend then on what was passed, and I would have to – I don't want to comment on a hypothetical ordinance that I haven't seen, but if it removed the implementation of the thought crime provisions, then that would at least be a step in the right direction.
Now, are you saying that the ordinance as it is written today, as you know it to be written today, is it anti-Christian? Is that how you see it?
Well, it says that if you've ever demonstrated a bias by word or deed against somebody because of their sexual orientation, their gender identity, their religion, then that's malfeasance and you can be removed. So anybody who – that could be interpreted to mean that if you've ever attended a church that believes that, for instance, same-sex marriage is wrong, then that demonstrates a bias and is malfeasance. Or if you personally have a religious belief about that and you express that, then that would be malfeasance, and that would get you kicked off of the board or commission.
Now, as I understand that the provision this, that you're talking about, word and deed, and has been taken out now, that you have that's no longer in there.
Well, the I've seen the version that was released as of July 31st. That's the most recent version I have, and they took out prior discriminatory acts, but they left in a section titled "Discrimination by Appointed Officials, Malfeasance," which. Both sections have the demonstrated bias by word or deed provision. They removed one of them, but they left the other one in. And so as far as I've seen, the latest version still has that language.
So Dan Graney, he is the co-chair of CAUSA Community Alliance for San Antonio United. How do you think that the ordinance is anti-Christian?
Well, absolutely not. I don't know if Mr. Butterfield understands, but this language has been part of the code for decades. This is nothing new. And that provision regarding prior discriminatory acts was indeed removed. And we agree that it should have been removed because it is overbroad in terms of regulating speech. With regard to the second provision that Mr. Butterfield objects to, this has to do with the conduct of an official or member of a board or commission in their official capacity, not what they do as private individuals, but as a member of that board or commission. For example, if you serve on the zoning commission and, you know, you get a zoning request for a same-gender couple, you can't just deny them that request because of their status.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the proposed anti-discrimination ordinance before San Antonio City Council. We would like to hear what you have to say. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a proposed ordinance for San Antonio City Council, which would update it to include anti-discrimination for the LGBT community, prohibiting discrimination against for sexual orientation or gender identity. Helping us understand the ordinance or some objections to it now, we have Justin Butterfield. He's an attorney for the Liberty Institute. And also in support of the ordinance, we have Dan Graney. He is the co-chair of CAUSA, Community Alliance for United San Antonio. Also, we'd like to hear what you, the listener, has to say about all this. The number is 614-8980. When we went to break, Dan, you were talking about what the ordinance, what you say it actually contains. Go ahead.
Right. Well, San Antonio is one of the few major cities in the country that doesn't include protections for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in its city code. And so all we're trying to do is bring San Antonio up to speed with over 180 other cities and counties that have included these protections in their city codes. What this ordinance would do would be simply to expand the current non-discrimination ordinances when it comes to city employment, housing, public accommodations, city contracts, and appointments to boards and commissions. to include sexual orientation, gender identity, and veteran status as protected categories. It would update outdated terminology in the current policy by changing the term handicap to disability. And it would bring all of these ordinances together under one section of the code, because right now they're scattered all over, and so that they're easier to find. And they would also provide exemptions to qualifying religious organizations.
So, Mr. Butterfield, over at the Liberty Institute, some people are saying that the objection that this would, that this is an anti-Christian ordinance is actually that you guys just don't like to have the LGBT community included in an anti-discrimination ordinance, and so you're creating this objection.
No, in fact, all we're asking for is for a religious liberty exemption to be placed into the anti-discrimination ordinance. We're not asking them to remove that language, just to add an exemption for people who have religious beliefs so that their religious liberty rights would be preserved. It does include an exemption for religious organizations, such as churches, but it does not include any sort of exemption for people who individually have religious convictions about these issues. So there's no individual religious liberty exemption included in the proposed anti-discrimination ordinance.
So a person who has a religious basis for discriminating against someone? I don't understand that.
So for instance, somebody who is a member of a city commission, is appointed to a city commission, and they attend church. And under the ordinance, that could be construed as demonstrating a bias by word or deed because they're attending a church. If that church, for instance, teaches that homosexuality is wrong, then that could be construed as demonstrating a bias on that person's behalf. What we want is for there to be an exemption in there that says if this does not apply to people if it's only because of their – if they object to it because of their religious views. So you can't kick people off of city boards or commissions because they attend church.
I think Dan really wants to jump in on that because I think that goes to the heart of what you're trying to get across, but people are saying is not really there in the audience.
Yeah, that's simply not factual. If you look at the language, the amended language of that provision that has been amended and the prior discriminatory acts was taken out, it talks about the acts or conduct of an official or member of a board or commission while they are serving in that capacity, not what they do in their private lives, such as attending a church or something like that. It doesn't say that at all. It talks about in their conduct as an official, you know, delegate of a city council member who appointed them to that board or commission.
Okay, we got some calls. I want to get to them right now. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. What do you think about the ordinance? What do you think about objections to the ordinance? We really want to hear from you. 614-8980. Cynthia is on the line. Cynthia, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to interject a little bit of clarity in the language that's being used because you've been saying that this ordinance might be construed as anti-Christian, and I just wanted to point out that any number of denominations of Christians very much would support that ordinance, and it would not preclude probably most Christians from serving on city councils and boards. And I happen to be a member of one of those Christian denominations that does support lesbians and gays and their rights. And so I just wanted to make sure that we weren't being so broad in characterizing all Christians as being against an ordinance like this.
Okay, Cynthia, I appreciate your phone call and making that point. And, of course, you know, even the recent Pope Francis saying that he was not as willing to condemn people for being gay, that he wants to judge people on their good acts. And so, there's a lot of room to consider in that area. So Dan, Justin Butterfield at the Liberty Institute, are you saying that this is anti-Christian?
No, I certainly agree that, you know, there are Christians who can have all sorts of different viewpoints on that. So I'm certainly not saying that this would keep all Christians out of city government. What I'm saying is there certainly are churches that hold that as a doctrinal view. Not all churches, but there are churches that do. And for people who attend those churches, there is no religious exemption for shield them to believe what they want to believe and to protect their religious liberty rights and their free speech rights.
And Dan Graney over at CAUSA, you say that exemption is not even needed because those individuals would not be acting in their official capacity with the city. So, you know, they can go to any church they pleased. It's not going to have any impact on their status with the city.
Correct. It has to do with their status on that border commission.
And unfortunately, that's just not clear in the statute. The original version of it contrasted present discrimination with prior discrimination. So they've removed the prior discrimination, but it's not clear that it only means while they're actually taking actions as Border Commission members. And if you have a board member who has, for instance, a religious conviction that homosexuality is wrong, and they want to propose some sort of an ordinance or regulation within their department based on that, historically, we've not regulated why they would be able to or be unable to enact an ordinance or regulation. But this regulates what sorts of policy decisions they can make.
And what city out there has done this right? What do you think what model could the city of San Antonio adopt to provide the protections and then also provide the reassurances to people who are believe what you're saying?
You know, really, all we want is for them to add an exemption for individuals who have religious objections to it, as they already have for churches that have religious objections to it. Simply expand that exemption to include individuals with religious objections to the anti-discrimination ordinance, and protect the freedom of conscience that we have traditionally protected in this country.
And Dan Graney?
Well, he didn't answer your question, Dave. The question is, what other city or model city out there has already, you know, enacted such protections, you know, based on, you know, an individual's religious liberty? And I would like to know that myself.
So,
go ahead.
No, but by putting in the provisions that you want, all the personal exemptions, would that also then make the ordinance like meaningless? Because then people in their official capacity could then discriminate and say it's my religious belief.
Well, no, because even if you had a religious exemption, a lot of the provisions in this anti-discrimination ordinance would be applicable either way. It you know, talks a lot about what the city can do. All we want is the religious exemption to protect people's rights of conscience. And so that's only a portion of the anti-discrimination ordinance that we're talking about. And it's a limited exemption only for people who have a religious liberty, who have a religious liberty right to be opposed to that. And that would be like saying the freedom of free exercise granted by the Constitution renders our other statutes in the United States irrelevant because we provide extra protections for religious people in the First Amendment, and we provide extra protection for free speech in the First Amendment. Well, it's not true. It's just making it comport with the Constitution of the United States, the Texas Constitution, and what the Texas law requires under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So it's not nullifying the anti-discrimination ordinance. It's just bringing it into line with our protections of religious liberty that we have traditionally had in this country.
Back to the phones. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. Judy is on the line. Judy, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much. I would just like to say, I think I'm 71 years old, and I've seen a lot in my life. And I think that it is wonderful that all people are finally being brought to the table. And I think it's a crying shame that the moral majority has not figured out yet that this world is made up of a lot of people. And if they want to do something about their conscience, examine it for themselves as to why they think the way they do. Because, as someone recently just said, who are we to judge? And I think that they need to step back and realize this is a bitter pill they're going to have to swallow after all these years of being so biased and radical.
All right, Judy, thank you for those comments. The number to call is 614-8980. So let me ask you, Dan, do we really need this ordinance? Is it really necessary? Do people really discriminate like that?
Well, yes, there are individual instances of discrimination, but we don't have a commission or an office right now that can track those claims, and we do need that down the road. We need this because San Antonio needs to demonstrate that it's a welcoming city, that it embraces diversity. It's good for business because 94% of Fortune 500 companies have already adopted such inclusive non-discrimination policies because they know it helps attract and retain the best talent. And like I said, you know, all the other major cities in Texas have already adopted these policies. So it's just time for San Antonio to catch up.
So Justin Butterfield over at the Liberty Institute, do y'all plan on filing a lawsuit? What kind of action will you take?
Well, it'll depend on what the actually adopted anti-discrimination ordinance looks like. Right now, we have only seen the proposed ones. But if it includes the language that makes speaking words or indicating a bias just by things that would traditionally be perceived as like a thought crime, then yes, I anticipate that there would be litigation as a result of that.
I mean, we've already heard that this is so you just don't buy that this only impacts officials in their official capacity, that you're insisting that this is if they say something you know, mean to somebody, then outside of city council or they go to church, then they could be punished for it.
I think the way the text reads right now, you could definitely interpret it that way. I don't think it's as clear cut that this is only in a very narrow situation as Dan suggests.
Okay. Hopefully we can get clearer language put in there and we can put an end to this miscommunication here. Justin Butterfield, an attorney for the Liberty Institute and in support of the ordinance, Dan Graney, co-chair of CAUSA, Community Alliance for United San Antonio.